to episode 71 of Divided by Werewolves. It is almost the end of April, which is crazy to me how quickly this year is going by. More importantly, Days Gone finally released to stunning reviews.
Well, they were all over the board from what I saw.
The stuff that I read, though, like the frustrations people had, I was like, nope.
Yeah. I don't know. It's not a game that I ever had a lot of excitement for.
Me neither.
I was kind of hoping when it's one of those things, right? Because I'm so fucking, I guess I'm just not overwhelmed, but I'm kind of tired of open world at this point. And so, and like you, I'm kind of over zombies. And so it's not something I was like really excited for anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, for me, it's both. I mean, I right now, I mean, basically all I've been playing lately are open world games. So I'm getting tired of them too. But you know, the zombie thing, and just, you know, I can't do it.
Yeah,
I just can't do it. Like, people at work were talking about, oh, if they ever make, you know, like Left 4 Dead 3, and I'm like, man, fuck Left 4 Dead 3. Like, I can't, you know.
Well, they.
I know they're making that Back to Blood or whatever. Yeah.
Oh no, the that World War Z game is being like highly compared to Left 4 Dead.
Oh, only really?
Yeah, but it's third person instead of first. But yeah, they're like, if the only way to play this game is to play the 4-player co-op, because this is close to a new Left 4 Dead as we're going to get probably for a while. So it reviewed better than fucking Days Gone has.
I like that movie. I know I'm in the minority on that one.
I liked it. I just wish it was called like Brad Pitt versus Zombies or something, because it was not the World War Z the book.
No, not even a little. All right, we got a lot of stuff to talk about. Again, I don't know why I keep saying that. One night I want to just be like, we have nothing, and then we just quit. Like episode like 75, we'll be like, we have nothing. Bye, and people will be irritated, but I think they would also find it hilarious. So
our anniversary 100th episode.
Just make it 100 seconds long. Just a minute.
We
40.
Got nothing.
Yeah. What do you got? Nothing. Really? Nothing. What about you? Okay. So games. I'm just full of transitions tonight. It's late. It's late in the week. I'm tired.
I'm fucking exhausted.
So I finally finished Far Cry New Dawn. I don't know why I played as much of that game as I did to be perfect. I mean, I take that back. I know why I did. It is what got sent to me via Gamefly, and it was when I didn't feel like spending, you know, 9 hours on a mission in Division 2 just to not finish it. But from a, you know, just from a kind of a Far Cry continuity experience, I don't really know what the hell the point of it was. You know, it gave you the opportunity to kind of go, oh, here's what happened to this person, assuming you remembered anyone from Far Cry 5 well enough to be like, hey, you know, I wonder what happened to random fisherman lady when the bombs dropped, right? Like, I don't think anybody was like, oh, I hope she's okay, you know?
Right.
So it gave you kind of the opportunity to, like, check in on people, but it didn't change anything. So if all of these Far Cry universes or games are in a connected universe, then the next one's either going to have to be a prequel, or they're going to have to say, oh, no, the bomb just went off in Montana. Although, when you're playing New Dawn, they intimate that the bombs went off all over the country, because one of the main people is a guy. Like, the whole idea is that you're traveling with this guy who's gone across the country helping rebuild communities, and your train gets hijacked or ambushed by the highwaymen. So there'd be no need for someone. I mean, I know Montana's a big state, but there'd be no need for him, because the government would do that. So if whatever the next Far Cry game is set after 5, then it's going to have to be in some post-apocalyptic thing, because that's kind of what they've established. But at the end of this game, like, nothing changes. You fight the twins, you beat them. You do see Joseph Seed again, which, you know, was great, because everybody loved him. He was such a wonderful character that everybody wasn't, you know, he wasn't annoying as shit. in any capacity. But nothing changes. They're just like, oh yeah, we're gone, but you know, there's going to be other highwaymen that might, you know, want to still kill you. So you're like, okay, so what was the point? It didn't say anything. It didn't have any sort of message. It didn't change anything. It didn't do anything. It just was busy work, just going around, same shit as before, you know, different colored animals this time. But I mean, the one mechanic they did add was that, like, so the main currency for upgrading your home base was ethanol. And so if you did a stronghold, you got, say, let's say you did a stronghold and no alarms went off. Well, you'd get 100 ethanol for doing the stronghold, and then another, say, 25 for no alarms. Well, immediately as soon as, and that would be like the first time you find it, it's a tier one stronghold. Well, immediately after you finish it, you can scavenge it. And what that means is that you will immediately get another 50 ethanol, but the stronghold goes back to being untaken, but this time it's a level two. So there's more enemies, there's more alarms. The reinforcements that they call will be stronger. If you beat that, then you get more ethanol, and then you can scavenge it again for tier three and immediately get 100 more ethanol, and same thing. So, you know, if you want to build everything up as high as it can go, that's your way to do it, is just to keep kind of redoing strongholds. And I guess it's like, you know, it in some way, you know, it kind of gives you some incentives to try different weapons and things like that. But, you know, aside from that kind of mechanic, and then, you know, they had these like expeditions, which basically they would send you, like a helicopter would take you somewhere and you had to find this supply cache. And then you had to get it, like get it away from where all the enemies were, but then also defend it for a certain amount of time. So, you know, that was a, you know, kind of a new thing. But, you know, for the most part, from a story perspective, like all the other stuff they've done, like Blood Dragon was stupid. Like that was the point. It was just dumb, you know, fun kind of future thing, you know, riff on action movies or whatnot. But this, I genuinely didn't understand it. And it just felt like a money grab. And then when you saw how quickly, you know, the price of it went down, I mean, you can get it for like 20 exactly. bucks now. I mean, it just really bucks, confirmed to me that that's really all it was. But I mean, I hate calling it. It's somebody's, you know, spent a lot of time working on it. Yeah. But you know, I don't know what, you know, kind of what it was for.
Yeah, outside of the fact that there has to be a Far Cry every year around this time.
Yeah.
I don't know why else it exists.
Yeah. I mean, and that's a series that I know that Assassin's Creed, they're not doing one this year. They're doing one in 2020. Mm. That'll coincide with the, you know, presumably with whatever the PS5 and whatnot. Right. You know, Far Cry, I feel like they kind of need to take a break too.
Yeah.
If
the series follows suit, the next one will be a whole new thing anyway, right? Like, it won't be a continuation of this story.
Right. Right, but they've all, even then, though, they've all still kind of been, you know, like, in the same, they're connected. There's people, like that CIA guy and Herc, I mean, they connect them to where, even if they're not, if it's not a Far Cry 5 thing, they all still kind of are in the same Far Cry universe.
Yeah.
So, and then I played Ace Combat. I finally, anybody watched me stream one mission, a guy got me, shut up.
Yeah, I was there for that one.
You know, that's how I felt. I mean, that's not wrong. But I went back and I actually did that mission. I did that mission a number of other times and couldn't do it. Just could not do it.
Yeah.
So I finally, I just did the VR stuff, which was really, really good. I streamed it. It's kind of hard to tell, I think, how it is from VR, but you know, when you're playing, and maybe there's a way to do it when you're playing regularly where you can look around the cockpit without looking just straight through. But that ability when you're dogfighting to turn your head, have your plane go in one direction and just kind of look all over the place to try to find them. Like, I felt like I was in Top Gun. It was great.
Yeah. That's all I want out of it. I know it's only three missions or whatever.
Yeah.
And I watched Jace. I watched Jace's stream of all of them. And, it looks fucking amazing.
I mean, it takes you an hour, and then you can replay. You know, you'll get new planes and new guns, and you can, you know, you can replay the missions. But it was, I mean, it was really well done, and I thought for sure I'd have problems when I first started. I was a little like, oh, but you get used to it, and it's would I've paid money even at a discounted price just for that? I don't know. You know, maybe if like GameFly had a sale and you could get it for like
$20.
Yeah.
I'll buy it just for the VR and I'll do it over and over again. And I'll do all the Top Gun quotes that my heart desires while I do.
That's what I did. I did that. I don't know if you watched it, but
no, I didn't get, I didn't, I missed it.
I buzzed the tower at the end of one of the missions. You're defending your base, your airstrip. And you do a whole bunch of shit, and then you finally come back, and I found, I was like, where the fuck's the tower? And I found the tower,
and I
buzzed it, and I was like, permission to buzz the tower, negative Ghost Rider, the pattern is full. And like anytime I would boop, I've got good tone, I'm firing, you know.
Yeah, oh yeah, I thought that's worth $20. That's right. Just
even Jesus Christ, I can take a shot from here. Yeah.
Can't wait.
And then real quick, finally, I teamed up with a bunch of randos, three randos last night to do a stronghold in the division, and we fucking just ran roughshod. I felt kind of bad for them. Mm. It's so much better. Like, the game, it's amazing how much easier things are when you're with a group of people, and that's how the first one was too, but the difference was you could solo this one and you couldn't solo the really, I mean, you could solo the first one, but it was by no means pleasant. I did it more because I wanted to just see like what it was like doing a stronghold with another person. You know, obviously I'll still make sure that we do it too, but it's crazy. And this is just world tier one. I'm sure once you get up to like world tier four or five, it's not this bad. I mean, it's worse, but you know, it's like, yeah, the enemies, like, they scaled up, but it's still just with four guys, it was like nothing.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think it would be fun. I just playing with two. It's amazing.
It's much better. Yeah. And from what I had texted you this, but for folks at home. So when you play with two people, the number of enemies don't scale. But three and above, they do. So it really is better to play with two people because you've got, you know, you don't have twice as many or four times as many enemies. You've just got the same number. And then because you've got someone that can help when they start to flank you, it's just much, much easier.
Mm-hmm.
So you've been playing, what's the name of it? Katana Surf?
Katana Zero.
That's it. Not surfing.
Katana Surf would be an amazing game,
too. Yeah, it would.
So I remember from the last Nindies or whatever the fuck they call it, those little things they do on the YouTubes where they show upcoming indie games.
Yep.
One of the ones they showed was Katana. It was one of the first ones, this game called Katana Zero. And I'm like, all right, side scroller, samurai ninja like dude, hyper violent, hyper bloody.
Yep.
Caught my interest, right? And so I watched it came out, I think, last Friday or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like I started watching the reviews on YouTube and whatnot. And I was like, oh, yeah, I remember that. And all the reviews are glowing. And I'm like, all right, well, it's with my little Nintendo coins from buying my games.
Yep.
I got it for like $12, $11, bucks, something like that. But it's basically one of these games. And it reminds me sort of like Hotline. Hotline Miami.
Uh-huh.
Those games were like, yes, all the enemies take one hit, but so do you.
Yeah.
And so, but you're a ninja, you're a samurai, and you have this roll dodge you can do, and this other maneuver that lets you slow down time so you can deflect bullets and shit like this, but they're on a meter.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, they're really short levels. Well, it's like there's several levels in each stage, if you want to call it that, right? Mm-hmm. You'll go to the location and you'll move from, you know, point A to point B in one room, and it ends, and then you start the next room. And it's all about learning the patterns and learning mm-hmm. where the enemies are going to be and which moves to make where. And you basically string your attacks and your dodge rolls and your maneuvers along. And then once you successfully complete a level, it's like it says, yes, that'll do. And you get to rewatch yourself.
Oh, that's cool. You can do that in Ace Combat. You can rewatch your entire mission.
Oh, cool. So, yeah, so as long as you complete the level, then you get to do that. You get to watch the whole thing over again, how badass you are and this and that. But if you fuck up, if you die, you start that particular level. Oh, they're really short levels, mm-hmm. but you start it over. And it's sort of almost like a puzzle game in that aspect.
Yeah.
So where you kind of – because it kind of helps you plan your strategy, because once you learn where the enemies are, what they're going to do – and then there's also, you know, there's interactive things in the levels that you can fuck with, like turn on lasers, turn off lasers. And again, like you can pick up shit and like hold it and then throw it. Mm-hmm. And then once you throw something at the, like if there's like three dudes coming at you, you throw the bottle. It's like almost like a Jackie Chan shit. You throw the bottle at this guy, you jump slash to kill this guy, you dodge roll to get behind the other guy, and you fucking stab him in the back and shit like that.
Uh-huh.
It's so fun. The combat is so fun and so like fluid and responsive. Like it's 8-bit or I guess 16-bit crap, is what we're going to call it. But it is incredibly fun.
Mm-hmm.
So I've had a ball with it.
Now, speaking of things like that, like have you gone back and played the like any of the Dead Cells DLC that they've come out with?
No.
Oh, okay. Because I need
to go back to that game.
I thought some of that stuff was free, so I wasn't sure. Yeah, I saw this game, and I thought of you. I was like, oh, this would be right up Mitch's alley. And I mean, unfortunately, I'm mm-hmm. so bad at games like that it would be completely wasted on me. But I wish I was better at them. Like, like Hollow Knight. I keep hearing about how great Hollow Knight is.
Yeah, I'd love to play it. I'm going to play that. Yep.
But I know I'd probably be terrible at it, so it's just kind of like, wow.
I'm excited for that one. Yeah, I keep waiting for it to go on sale. Like, every Friday, as soon as I get home, I turn on the Switch, and I look for Golf Story or Hollow Knight to go on sale.
Oh, Golf Story. Oh, I fucking love that game.
I know. I want to play it so bad. It was like $10, and I didn't pull the trigger on it, and it hasn't been back on sale since. I've been kicking myself.
Yeah. But yeah, just so like I want to be better at Dead Cells. So I'm kind of like, if I saw that on sale or I could get it for like $10 or something, I probably would buy it and then just be pissed off that I'm not actually any good at it. But
yeah,
there was something else I was going to mention about. I read there's Switch kind of turn-based RPG, not turn-based, sorry. Like a first person, you know, like not turn based, but like grid based, like
front mission and shit like that.
Called Tactics. Vaporum, on the Switch that's supposed to be good. So, I'll probably check that out at some point. The it's like a steampunk type of thing, almost like a BioShock. You're in a tower and you're kind of making your way up the tower. But from what I heard, sadly, this is sad that people were like, the text is so small in handheld mode. And I was like, fuck, shit. I can't do that.
That's how I played my Switch.
Yeah. So
there was one that also I was interested in that I thought you had mentioned before. It was like that. It's like a grid based tactical game. But like, I don't know, the levels get smaller or something. But it was like. Oh shit! I wanted to say you played it on your iPad, but I can't remember. But there was a Switch port of it.
Huh. That doesn't sound familiar. Yeah, this one it's not that it's a grid. It's more that like it's like you're in first person. You kind of traverse a dungeon, but it goes like block, block, block. So it's not like you can just kind of, you know, you kind of walk around. There was a Grimrock, Legends of Grimrock, or something like that. That game was that way. There's also like the Wizardry games. Did you play any of the Wizardry games back in the day?
No, I know what you're talking about. I've seen videos of on YouTube.
So things like that. But anyway, so I figured I'd give it a whirl at some point. Mm. You know, once I can stop playing all this other shit that I'm currently wasting time on. And then, so I've got I just found out from Gamefly. I have Metro Exodus.
Ooh, nice.
And Devil May Cry 5 both coming.
Oh, shit.
You know, incredibly similar games.
Yeah.
Stylistically, thematically, I'm sure they'll be. You know, they happen to come out at the same time, you know, and I was like,
that's awesome. Yeah, fuck yeah.
So we'll see. It should be interesting.
Those are my short list for games to buy and not play for 2 years.
There you go. I'll let you know how they are. All right. So the movies, we got a couple movies to talk about tonight. We're going to talk about Lizzie, the Lizzie Borden, I guess, dramatization. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We're also going to talk about the new Hellboy. I don't know if you want to call it a reboot or whatever. Don't call it a comeback. But before we do that, I have a couple things real quick. Movies that I've watched. And again, these are old. So the first one is... I finally, despite constantly seeing it at Redbox and never... watching it, I finally pulled the trigger to watch Mile 22. I'm a Mark Wahlberg fan, like in very small doses most of the time. I find him kind of annoying.
Yeah.
But this one, I was like, okay, I'll give it a whirl. And I don't know if the purpose of this was to make him as like supremely unlikable as possible. Mission accomplished.
He kind of already does that.
He does, right? But then there's certain times when you can kind of... it works, but you can kind of look past it. Like The Fighter, I love that movie. I thought he was great in that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but this was not one of those. But then they also make him seem like he's some kind of savant. So I'm like, don't make it that this guy's got... don't try to make it sound like, oh, he's like somehow on the spectrum and that's why he's a flaming asshole. Like, I mean,
right.
People on the spectrum, they might have social issues and some of them might be assholes, just like people who aren't on the spectrum can be assholes. But let's not make it like that's his thing. You know, they can know that's why he's such a prick. So, but anyway. And then the guy, I always get his name. He was in The Raid and The Raid 2. So he was good. It's just that unfortunately they don't really know, like Peter Berg didn't really, you know how to direct it. Like, I mean, he's got this amazing action movie star and they still kind of did like the faster cuts and you know and whatnot at certain times, and I'm like, man, you got to let these scenes breathe and let this guy kick ass. And then Lauren, she was in Lauren Walking Cohen. Dead, Lauren Cohn, Lauren Conrad. I can always get her name wrong too.
Yeah, Cohen. Just call her Maggie, but
yeah, Maggie. She was great. She was really good. I was like, man, you need something better than the Whiskey Cavalier show you're in because you're
this shit. I remember this movie now.
She was pretty badass in her own right. I didn't really like kind of what they did with her character. I thought she was, you know, pretty good. And then the ending, I was, you know, kind of genuinely surprised at it. You know, so for an hour and a half, it really wasn't a bad way to spend your time as long as you could really get past just how supremely unlikable they made Mark Wahlberg in this movie, which I'm assuming was on purpose as like who his character is. I mean, unfortunately, you know, if you're a Ronda Rousey acting fan, which I don't know why you would be, not a lot here for you. She's in it, but
yeah,
that's about it. the other one I watched was, finally got around to watching Equalizer 2, which, you know, I'm a huge Denzel fan, so I'm happy to watch him in pretty much anything, but, you know, the first Equalizer movie kind of bugged me, and I couldn't figure out why, and now that I watched another one, I realized it's because there's no stakes in these movies at all. Like, you just never feel... at all, like he's never in any danger. Period. Of like, at least like in the John Wick movies, like you know John Wick's a badass, and you know that. But at least he gets beaten up and tossed around, and you know he might get hit. He might get
by the elderly.
Yeah, exactly. Not Equalizer movies. In The Equalizer, this guy, I mean, he just completely fucks up everybody, all comers. Just there is no tension. There are no stakes. It's just basically going, all right, well, let's see what he does to this poor person. Because you know he's going to completely fuck this guy up.
Yeah, like, and Denzel's one of those guys, and it's like Liam Neeson for me. It's like, yeah, I like him, but I so much prefer when he does, like, dramas.
Yeah.
Because I just genuinely don't consider him a badass.
Well, this movie, and I think in part because they really did kind of up the... I feel like they upped the violence and the gore in this one than from the first one. Like,
yeah, I didn't see the first one.
The first one was pretty good. I mean, in terms of like some of the staging, but the this one they do a better job, I think, of establishing him as a badass. You know,
okay.
So it was a lot easier to
like. Don't get me wrong; like he's amazing. Like I love Denzel. But the only movie I've ever watched him in, and he was supposed to be a badass, that I genuinely was like, that's a bad motherfucker, was Training Day.
Yeah.
But you give me John,
with this bitch.
You give me John Q over The Equalizer any day of the week. Like, I'd rather, that's my Denzel. Like, I want to watch that. So, or what was the, Ricochet. That was fucking good.
Which one was Ricochet?
Wasn't that the one where he was the cop and, like, John Lithgow was the.
Yeah.
Then or whatever. I love that shit.
You know what? And this goes against what I just said. I don't know if you've ever seen Two Guns with him and Mark Wahlberg. That's not bad.
No, that's based on a comic book.
Is it really?
That is a fantastic adaptation of a great comic.
I had no idea.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
It was either Image or IDW. I forget. But I have the comic. It was only like a 2-issue thing, but it was fucking great. Yep.
Yeah. No, I like that quite a bit. Mm-hmm. Huh, interesting.
Great comic movie.
And then what was the last one? Because there was three of them that I had kind of put off from watching. Oh, I know what it was. Shit, I got to look this up. I watched it today on Netflix because it was on Polygon. They had posted this, like, the 15 best thrillers on Netflix. And so I watched this one because Nikolai Coster-Waldau, however you pronounce his name, the guy who plays Jaime Lannister on Game of Thrones, was in it.
No clue.
And he plays a cop who had been arrested and comes back to his small town and is trying to atone, and then bad things happen. It's called Hold on.
It's called Walking Tall, and it stars The Rock in a 2x4.
It's called Small Crimes. Yeah, right. Oh. It's called Small Crimes. It's like an hour and a half. It's, you know, TVMA. I don't know if it's like Netflix bought it or what the deal with it was. It reminds me. Have you ever seen Killing Me Softly with James Gandolfini and Brad Pitt was in it? Ray Liotta was in it.
Yes. Yeah.
It reminds me a lot of that movie, which I'm a huge fan of that movie. But it's just a small, you know, I mean, he comes, like I said, he comes back town. He's trying to atone, but he's also still kind of, it's not that he's a scumbag. It's that when he left, he was kind of embroiled with some bad people, and they're not really willing to let him go. Gary Cole's in it. Gary Cole's fucking great in it. The guy, I'm going to have you work Saturday. Lindemann or whatever his name is.
Lumberg.
Lumberg, yeah. Gary Cole, yeah, man. I love Gary Cole. He's great.
Lumberg's a man.
He's on The Good Fight. He's on The Good Wife. Same character. But anyway. Definitely check it out. Like I said, it's like an hour and a half. It moves fast. And it's got some really solid character actors in it. Like the guy, he was in Jackie Brown. He was the parole officer. He's in it. And a bunch of people. So definitely check it out. It's well worth watching, especially for like an hour and a half. If you're like going to watch Game of Thrones Sunday and wait for everyone and their mother to die, you can cue that up. Prepare yourself.
Okay.
All right. So which one? Let's do Lizzie first.
Sure, yeah.
So Lizzie came out last year, I believe. Is that right?
Yeah.
2018?
Yeah, yeah.
So it's Chloe Sevigny. Apparently she's been trying to get this movie made, for quite a while. She played Lizzie Borden, and then Kristen Stewart played Bridget, a maid who came to live at the Borden household, and her and Lizzie hit it off, and together, although I'd like to get your impression on how much togetherness there was, come up with a plan to deal with Lizzie's family. So a lot of this is like, so Lizzie Borden in real life, yeah, she was her parents were found dead from a hatchet. She was put on trial. She was not convicted. The jury deliberated for what they say 90 minutes. And then basically found her not guilty because they said, well, no, a woman of her social standing could not commit such a heinous crime.
Right.
But the movie puts forth the idea that she and her dad did not get along, and really nobody in the town did. And then there was with her dad, and then there was a she was concerned that he was going to give her and her sister's inheritance away to his kind of con man brother. And so between that and him finding out that she and Bridget were having a relationship and going to send Bridget away, that's why they killed the family. I have no idea. It's funny, growing up in upstate New York and where in Massachusetts, where it is, like that's on the – so I-90, if you're in Albany, I-90 West will take you literally to the other side of the country. East will take you to Boston. And so – you know, not having, you know, when we were in college, we didn't have a lot of money. Like, we would find some kind of crappy touristy town in Massachusetts. Like, this is where Norman Rockwell was born, you know, and that, and we would go there. That would be like, or Linda and I would go for like an overnight or something. It'd be like, well, we couldn't really afford anything. And like, I think it's Falls River is where it was. But like, yeah, like, there's one of these towns was like, that's where, you know, kind of is famous for being where, you know, Lizzie Borden was, but it was never that big of a deal. It was just kind of like, oh yeah, you know,
it was well, like everybody knows the little
the
song
rhyme, yeah,
the, right, yeah, the rhyme. But and literally, that's all I knew. That's,
did you count it. The number of wax? Because I didn't.
I did.
Did
I
you?
Did.
Was there 40? Yeah.
No, it is not rhyme accurate. I can confirm that the wax were not rhyme accurate.
So
literally that's all I knew was the rhyme. I knew the rhyme, and I knew the cast was fucking phenomenal, and I wanted to watch it.
Yeah.
And it showed up on Shudder, and I have Shudder, and so, you know, I get excited when new stuff shows up on Shudder because their selection is, and then we're not sponsored by Shudder, but
could we
their
be?
Selection.
We should find out. I was going to say, could we be?
we should be, because I feel like I talk about Shudder an awful lot. And, you know, we consistently get 40 to 50 downloads. So that's,
it's got to be worth
$10 a month.
Exactly.
Right? So,
yeah.
But anyway, it showed up on Shudder. It was a Shudder exclusive for streaming. I think, like you said, it came out last year. But I don't know if it's gotten like a physical media release yet.
I'm not sure.
Because I'll buy it when it comes out, if it does come out.
I think it had. I think.
Okay.
I could be wrong. I could be. Anyway, go ahead.
I'll go to Amazon when we're done. But yeah, I thought the cast was great. And I was interested in, because like, I knew nothing. And
yeah.
So I was like, all right, even if it's not accurate, let's see what they come up with for this. And I thought that they did a great job of presenting a situation in which she would murder the shit out of these people.
Yeah. Like,
you know, they were fucking heinous. Like, they were awful people. Like, I feel like even for the time they were awful people.
Yeah. You know what, it's definitely, like, I remember reading a review and somebody's like, how can a movie about people getting killed with a hatchet be so boring? And I think there's a fine line between a slow burn and boring. And I think movies for some people that are like, oh no, it was just tension, and other people are like, it's boring. Like, you know, like the what's it, The Night Comes for Us?
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of people, and I remember they're like, it's boring, nothing happens, you know, and I'm like, what? That shit was just tension.
Oh. No, The Night.
No, oh, no, not comes, The Night Comes for Us. Yeah. What's the Joel?
It comes at night.
It comes at night. Sorry. Yeah. It's totally different. Yeah. You know, the thinking that, okay, well, nothing happened, so why? What's the big deal? And I think in this movie, it is a slow burn because the structure of the movie is such that, you know, it kind of shows you the crime because, you know, if you know anything about Lizzie Borden, you know, like what you just said, you know the rhyme and, you know, parents were killed, you know, hatchet, whatnot. And so it kind of shows you the crime, and then it kind of shows you the stuff building up to the crime. Then it shows you the crime again. Then it shows you, like, the trial and then rewind. So, but I didn't feel like it was – I was never bored.
No,
I mean, the,
I wasn't
either. Kind of the constant, like you said, the ramping up of – you know, just shit this woman had to put up with from her dad. Mm-hmm. And the way she already, just because of the, it was 1892, because of the time, because of the fact she was unmarried, you know, the bullshit she had to put up with. And then here this fuckwit is like, oh yeah, I'm gonna, you know, give all your shit away, you know, to my brother who, you know,
right. Well, yeah, fucker, he like murdered her pigeons and shit. And,
oh yeah, that was, you know, rough.
That was fucking brutal. And then like she already was having like the seizures and stuff like that. Like she had like obviously health issues and again, I have no idea if it's historically accurate. It probably isn't. I don't know.
Yeah.
But for the movie, I felt like even if I didn't know the rhyme, I would have enjoyed this movie because, again, I think the cast was really strong. Mm-hmm. I liked everybody. Their performances, I felt, were
like, and it's funny because the two actresses, like Chloe Sevigny, I'm more I enjoyed more of her stuff. Kristen Stewart, I'm not really a fan. Like,
no, me neither.
You know, I always feel like I'm kind of constantly seeing this just the same person from her, and so this was for me, this was new because I felt like this was, you know, kind of a someone different.
Mm-hmm. Same. Like I don't know if it's because it's a period piece or if this character just necessarily plays to her strengths, whereas other ones she's plays have not. She didn't bother me, and she usually does. Because even when you watch her in interviews, she's just like she is in the part she plays.
Mm-hmm.
She's super weird. She's staring off into nothing. She's like, she won't make eye contact with anybody. But this movie, like I was surprised by her, and I felt like everybody else was as good as I thought they'd be or even better. I loved the guy from American Horror Story is the
oh, uncle. Yeah.
Good God, that dude.
Yeah.
Ugh, he was fucking creepy.
Yeah. Have you seen Personal Shopper? The Kristen Stewart movie?
No, I never watched it. Never watched it.
I feel like I have to now because this one I liked her as much as I did in it.
It's been on my list forever, but I just never got to it.
Yeah. I it's weird though because I don't really understand like why this would have been on Shudder because I just don't feel like it's a horror movie.
No, well Shudder's that service, if you like, I gave you the login. Just go, get in there and look around, man. Mm-hmm. There's all kinds of shit on Shudder.
Okay,
Shudder is amazing. Like they, and it's not like Netflix where everything is new-ish or mm-hmm. like, you know what I mean. Like Shudder goes back to the fuck like 70s, 80s. I mean, old shit, new shit, all kinds of genres. They have documentaries. Like Shudder is fucking fantastic.
But is it mostly known for like horror stuff then? Like
yes, it is. Yeah.
Okay. I just thought this was a strange choice, but even, you know.
Well, I kind of feel like, and I might be wrong, completely wrong, but I remember months ago on an episode of the Shockwaves podcast, one of the people, one of the hosts mentioned this movie, and I think that because Shudder, they're obviously big fans of Shockwaves. Like most the horror community that does podcasts are big fans of Shockwaves. And so I think that Shockwaves has a lot of influence over things.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was Becca on Shockwaves who mentioned that she's caught this at a festival and really liked it. And then suddenly, because Shudder always sponsors Shockwaves. And then it's like, it showed up on Shudder. And I'm like, okay, I don't know if that's the reason, but I kind of feel like,
mm-hmm.
if you listen to Shockwaves and then you watch Shudder, a lot of the stuff, there's a lot of co-mingling there. And I kind of wonder if that's maybe how Shudder ended up with the exclusive rights to stream this.
Gotcha. And I have no idea what Shockwaves is because I'm...
It's the Blumhouse horror podcast. It's one of the most popular like horror podcasts out there right now.
And what do they talk about? Just the same like movies and
everything.
Whatnot? Oh, yeah, okay.
Movies, Blu-rays. They have a lot of really cool guests on there. Like they had the guys who did The Endless. They had, they have really cool guests. They had, Nacho, Vigalondo. They had Panos when Mandy was getting ready to come out. They had him on. Yeah. It's a really cool podcast.
All these people whose names I couldn't remember. And then I'd be like, I did not like your movie. Sorry, dude.
Yeah.
Sorry.
But they have a lot of the smaller names. They'll have a big name every now and again, but a lot of times, like there was one of the guys who's one of the hosts is Ryan Turek, who's a guy who I've known on the – not known, but like that's a name I recognize from the internet from my first days on the internet. And good for that dude because he started off on a shit horror website message board that I used to go to. And he was Ryan Rotten.
Oh.
And then – he went from that to working on a slightly bigger horror website that I also went to writing for Fangoria.
Oh,
and
nice.
Now he's a producer at Blumhouse, and he was one of the big producers that got Halloween done last year. So,
wow.
Yeah, good for that, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. Wow. Very good. Very cool. But I enjoyed it. I think it's, yeah, you know, it's worth watching. I mean, I think that, the thing is, it's too. I mean, like Lizzie is. I mean, obviously, you wouldn't say she was justified in killing them. She put up with a lot, but she has her flaws too, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like you're just like, oh, this poor put upon woman. She did this thing. It's you know. I mean, they really do kind of present her as. I'm not going to say an uneven character, more like an uneven person, where, you know, she doesn't. She doesn't fully understand, like, kind of, even though she's still oppressed, there's still people who have it worse than her, particularly Bridget.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So,
yeah,
right. You know, there is, I don't know, there was that aspect to it, too. It wasn't just, okay, this poor woman has to put up with all this shit, kills her parents, sure. And then, like, yay, you know, but,
Yeah, good God, man. Bridget ends up. Even though she isn't axed in the face, she ends up being the biggest victim of the whole thing.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
Yeah.
It's a very interesting take, dramatic, like, take on as far as what I knew, was just a true thing that happened to have a rhyme associated with it.
Right. But, so I'm glad that you mentioned that, because I don't know if I would have – excuse me, I don't know if I would have watched it. If you hadn't.
Well, that's the thing, right? Because it's Lizzie, and the thing is, that's why I had to tell you specifically which one I was going to watch. Because, and that's another thing I think plays against this movie, because it is a slow burn and it is a historically accurate period piece, and it attempts to tell the story of a gruesome double murder somewhat seriously, because there's 9,000. Lizzie Borden ghost fucking stupid movies.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah. I think that plays against this, because if somebody's seen those,
right.
You're like, ooh, this one has Kristen Stewart. It's like, no, this isn't that.
You're right, exactly. The ghost of Lizzie Borden. No, no ghosts.
Mm-mm. Nope.
Get your ghost facers hat and put it away.
Mm.
But
ghost fuckers.
That's right. Okay, so next up is, I don't know if it's, I guess it'd be a reboot, right? The Hellboy?
I think it may have been intended to be that, but it certainly won't be.
No, I don't think the GP, I know when I went to see it, there was, I don't know if we would have gotten a penalty if we tried to put that that team on the football field because we did not have enough people.
No. If we had gone together, let's say my theater experience, if we had gone to the Noonan Theater with the reclining seats, we would have had our pick of the auditorium.
Yeah. I was not surprised, but also surprised at the same time. So you from what I gather, from your Prince reaction, you to Darwin, you enjoyed it.
I did. Yep. It wasn't. It's not at all the Guillermo del Toro Hellboy movies, and it's not Ron Perlman. I don't know, man. I thought it was a good time. I thought that it's in tone. It's 100% different, but I feel like that should have been expected based on what you'd seen. And if you bothered to read anything about it, like it's.
See, and I'm curious. I'm surprised that you like it only because I felt like they were. Here's what I felt. I felt like what they were trying to do was essentially make Hellboy a Deadpool movie. And they just were kind of Deadpooling Hellboy, and I would have figured, given that you're not a fan of the Deadpool movies, and not just the Deadpool movies, but the trend in general of just trying to fuckify whatever, make things R-rated just for the sake of that this kind of would have grated on you because it to me. That's what it felt like in the trailer. That's what it felt like when I was watching it. It was just not the not the gore necessarily because, you're dealing with monsters and demons and whatnot. So
sure.
It's completely understandable that they're not just going to, take your lunch money. But the tone of the trailers to me very much felt like they were trying to make this the direction they were going in was to take advantage of the of an R-rated comic book movie being a valid thing. And I don't feel like necessarily Hellboy itself warranted that tone. Not necessarily the violence, but the gore, I don't care about any of that, but the tone to me felt off, like way off.
Okay. Yeah. I could see that, especially with the language, because I feel like somewhere between the Ron Perl, the Del Toro ones and this one is the perfect Hellboy movie.
Yeah.
Because he like the all crap.
Yeah.
And all that stuff. That's the Hellboy, right? It's not fuck this, fuck that. You're absolutely right in that regard. But what I liked about this one is I felt like number one, I enjoy Neil Marshall's movies. So do I,
and he's done amazing work. You know what he's done amazing work on?
Yeah.
Game of Thrones. Just saying.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Some of the best battle scenes, the episodes were...
That makes sense. Yeah,
an entire battle at a time was done by... Yeah. The battle of, I think, the Blackwater was done by Neil Marshall.
Wow.
Yep.
Damn it. All right. Well, I guess I have to watch...
Sorry, dude.
I have to watch a couple more episodes of that shit. But anyway...
Think there's dragons though in those episodes, so you'll be okay.
Yeah. Well, I don't think there's dragons in that fucking show. Nobody can convince me otherwise either, because I watched the whole goddamn season. You know, they talked about it, so there might be a dragon.
That's true. You watched the first season, right? The dragons came at the end when she hatched them.
Hated it. I didn't get to the end. I didn't get all the way through it.
Well, then you didn't. Then you missed the dragons because they came out as little babies. Little baby
I'm
dragons.
Okay with that. I'm perfectly fine with missing it. I don't know. So here's what it did for me, right? It was short and to the point, which I enjoyed. It wasn't 2.5 hours long.
You know, it's funny, real quick on that. When I went to it, I saw in Adam, the app I used to buy tickets, it said it was 2.5 hours long. I was like, Jesus Christ. and I'm sitting there going, what the fuck, man? How much longer is there to be in this goddamn thing? And so I got out of the theater and I'm looking at my phone. Do you ever have a moment where like you're just looking at your phone like, well, that's not right. And then you're you figure if I just keep staring at my phone, it'll all become clear. I actually had to wait until I got in my car because I thought my phone was broken because it was like 40 minutes earlier than I expected it to be. I was like, fuck. Anyway, go ahead.
And I think it was close to 2 hours or whatever it was, but like, it was like, I don't know. It just, for me, it flew by. I enjoyed the action sequences. I thought they felt like true Hellboy. I loved the Mexican wrestling stuff. I loved the Wild Hunt.
Yeah, but the stuff with the Giants, Hunt. Man, that CG was janky as fuck.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it was like, it was not great.
No, I agree. And I think David Harbour also wasn't a great Hellboy.
I thought actually he was pretty good. I liked him.
I don't like him, and I think that's the problem.
Really? Do you watch Stranger Things? Probably not. Yeah, if you don't like him.
I watch it and I don't enjoy it. So I watch it because everybody loves it so much and all of my friends love it so much, and I keep waiting for it to grab me and it never does.
I'll finish the second season. I like the second season a lot more than I like the first season. First season I was kinda like, I don't get it. But here's the thing. I don't like the Goonies. So I think I think that movie's terrible. So,
oh my god, terrible?
Yeah.
All right. See, this is my problem with so many people on the internet, like film, Twitter, and everything else. If Hellboy's the worst thing you've ever seen, then you don't watch near as much garbage as I do.
Oh, I watch a ton of garbage. And Hellboy is not even nearly
you think
close.
The Goonies is terrible.
Yeah. So Greg Howley, a friend of mine, I used to write on his site, and he had heard that I hadn't got the Goonies, so he actually bought me a DVD copy of the Goonies. And I sat down and watched it, and I was like, I don't get it. Like, I don't. This is
okay. You can't watch it when you're an adult.
Okay.
I mean, you can, but only if you grew up watching it.
Well, maybe that's the problem.
Yeah, that's like Monster Squad and everything else. Like, I won't say that. I think the Monster Squad is great no matter
what. I was going to say, I think that's different, but anyway.
But yeah, man, I grew up watching The Goonies. I fucking love that movie.
Yeah, but there's movies that I liked as a kid that I still like as an adult.
But if you'd seen them as an adult first, I mean, did you think?
Sure.
I don't know. That's a completely different.
Well, you know what? Here's the thing. There's a reason I've never rewatched Ice Pirates, and I will never rewatch Ice Pirates. My first decapitation, I remember it was yesterday. I will never rewatch Ice Pirates because, in my mind, Ice Pirates is one of the greatest movies of all time.
Right. So
I watched it as a child. No, but anyway, the point is,
back to Hellboy.
Back to Hellboy. So it's funny the things that you have a problem. Like, you didn't like David Harbour. I thought he was fine. Mm. I thought he was fine as Hellboy, given what he was given to do with Hellboy. Right. I didn't like what he was given to do with Hellboy.
Right. I'm not saying he was terrible. I didn't quite enjoy him as Hellboy as much as I wanted to. And I think it's because I just don't like the dude. But he was fine. He didn't distract me from enjoying the movie. My major issues with the movie were on it. I only had really one. I hated the music, and I felt like,
Every time they showed a new place, they were like, here's a song with the word devil in it. So you know what's going on.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
You guys like that Suicide Squad trailer? Well, watch this.
Yeah. Ooh, shout out the devil.
right. I hated the music. And then I felt like it was like the editing and I read after the fact that there was all this studio interference and shit, because you always hear that shit.
Yeah, but that's the thing. That's just a... I really question how much of that there is. I mean, and how much is just cover? How much studio interference would there be on a Hellboy movie that they only expected to make 20? If this movie had made 40 million in its opening weekend, they would have shit their pants with glee.
Mm-hmm. I'm just saying, from what I read, and not just one outlet, but various outlets, like apparently it was supposedly Neil Marshall and the studio butted heads quite a bit. I don't know.
Hey, if they release a director's cut, I'll give it a go.
Yeah. But also, the other thing that kept me excited for the movie was Mike Mignola had a way bigger influence and way bigger part in getting this one done than he did the other two. And this was supposed to be his vision for a Hellboy movie, and the horror elements and the gore and the violence and all that was supposed to be more towards what he wanted. And at the end of the day, for me, it was just a fun fucking monster movie. And you just happened to, you know, like, you rooted for one monster versus other monsters.
Yeah, and that's the thing, though. I didn't want a monster movie. I wanted a Hellboy movie. And this, to me, what it felt like was someone trying to prove that they read a ton of Hellboy comics.
Well, see, and I think that's what I enjoyed about
it. So they were like, yeah, but look, I would rather they had a more distilled, coherent story that took specific, like, it was not like, okay, like, you know, who doesn't like Lobster Claw? What's his name?
Lobster Johnson.
He didn't need to be in this movie.
Yes, he did.
No, he did not. The whole sequence with where they resurrect, they had Hellboy, like, where they summoned him. That wasn't, like, that's the thing. Like, there was so much extra stuff that I felt like they put in there just because they wanted to be like, look, we read a lot of Hellboy comics. We know what we're doing. And I would rather they pared that down and told a more focused story that showed a grasp of the material and not just a wide breadth of material.
Yeah.
Like, I like Thomas Hayden Church. I think he's great. I'm glad he's still getting work.
Yeah.
But, I mean, was there a reason for him to be there other than just, well, he's cool?
Yes. That's why.
But that's not a reason. That's not a story reason. That's not a thematic reason. That'd be like, I mean, Darth Vader's cool, but I don't want him showing up and fucking, you know what I mean? Like, in everything. Like, it doesn't make sense, right? Like, he's just like, ah, here I am. Okay.
Well, I mean, he can show up in Star Wars things, and I would think it was amazing. He
would have show up look, okay. If in the post credit scene he showed up, that would have made sense. That would have been cool. Like, that just little, like, a little nod, like, oh shit, you know what I mean? Like, it's loud. Can I see the claw? Here it is. Oh, that's awesome, right? And the fans would go, yay. But to then, like, take time to be like, okay, let's bring this in and this in and bring this in and bring this in. It just, it ends up getting bogged down at the expense of something that, you know, kind of, I'm not going to say, like, not necessarily making sense, but just, I don't know. That was my big takeaway was, you know, I appreciate that, right? Like, I mean, on the one hand, that's better than someone who doesn't know jack shit about it. But I just felt like the movie as a whole suffered because I felt like they were trying to prove that they really know Hellboy. And I would have preferred it just been, you know, kind of like, I wasn't a fan of, like, Hellboy and Broom's relationship. I mean, I love Ian McShane, but just the whole, like, kind of whiny, and same thing with Pet Sematary. Like, I kind of felt like, and maybe he did at one point have this conversation, but, like, it never came up, like, why your father was there the night you were summoned. Like, it seems to me like, and it's entirely possible that that is a conversation that they had before, and it just, you know, it just ended up, he didn't tell him the whole truth. Who knows? But the way it was presented was almost like they never talked about it at all. And so he's just like, wait a minute, you were there? Well, that's weird, you know? And then he's like, why were you there? And he's like, ah, let's not. But that kind of, I mean, and I have teenagers, so I get it, right? Like I trust me, I've seen so many rolled eyes over the course of my life at this point that if I never see it again, I'll be a happy man. But it's still, like, their relationship, like, that's the thing I like. And I did not go into this going, okay, well, I'm going to compare it to the Del Toro movies. Because, I mean, I knew they weren't the same thing. Right. But just, I the relationship in the Del Toro movies, there was still kind of a tension between Broom and Hellboy in terms of, like, these are things I want to do. Well, the world's not ready for you. That type of thing, which is a typical, that's a typical father, son. I want to do these things. I'm not ready for you to do these things. And I don't feel you're ready, that type of thing. But this seemed to be more like every time David Harbour was like, come on, dad. That was their relationship. And I'm like, I wanted kind of more from that. And then there was so much exposition at times. I don't know, man. It just felt like, I just felt like there were, I don't know, like maybe it could have been handled better to where you didn't have to have this huge, like, exposition dump as much as they did, but maybe I'm just being sensitive to it. I don't know.
Well, I think part of that is probably based on Mike Mignola having written part of the script, right? Like, I think that him being more involved in this one, I wonder if that's where a lot of the comic elements being sort of put into it that maybe didn't, or you think maybe weren't supposed to be there or whatever, or apparently the rest of the world believes were unnecessary. I wonder if he wasn't trying to get as much in there of his baby as he could. I don't know. At the end, like, it's just one of those movies, and like, I'm not saying that it was fantastic at all. Don't get me wrong. I just feel like it's being unnecessarily shat upon, or unfairly shat upon, because I think that a rotten fucking tomatoes score comes out before the movie ever comes out, and it's deemed as a failure, and so people unfairly don't like give it no chance whatsoever. And having been excited about it for a while, when I finally got to see it, I wasn't disappointed. I certainly didn't hate it. And it's one of those things that the more I watch it, the more I'm going to like it. I know that.
See, and for me, I had no idea. Like, I knew, you know, I'm not completely, you know, I don't live in a cave. So I knew what the score was. But I mean, that stuff to me, I don't pay any attention to that stuff. I read, like, there's sites that I read, and I kind of go more, like, I always read the AV Club's review of things, but I don't go, well, I'm not going to see it because they didn't like it. Like, the AV Club, they didn't like Lizzie. You know, they thought it was boring. I totally disagree with that. But, you know, in this case, you know, I'll definitely cop to there being movies that people that are reviewed poorly, and then, you know, I like, this just didn't happen to be one of them. In terms of like levels of badness, like that, you know, whatever, I'm not going to kind of get into that level of qualification. Was it as bad as they said it was or whatever? Like, but, it didn't work for me. The demons at the end, they did. I thought they were fucking great. Like the demon design, I thought that shit was awesome. But, you know, I also felt like there was kind of a lot to get to that payoff, which then ended up really not being kind of that much of a payoff compared to kind of everything that had come up until that point. And I don't know if part of that, again, you shouldn't bring into a movie, you know, previous versions. But at the same time, I feel like it's okay to do that if a previous version conveyed what you liked about the character successfully, right? Like you don't have to say, well, it wasn't that thing. You can say, well, that thing was kind of what I better conveyed what I feel about this character than this thing did.
Oh, sure. Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I'm not saying this is in any way comparable or superior to either of the Del Toro films. Like I said, I feel like that Hellboy was way closer to the Hellboy from the comics. I just enjoyed the fact that this particular movie brought more of the comics into it.
Yeah. I could see that. Like, and I think obviously at the end of the day, you need to, you need to evaluate a movie on its own merits, right?
Yes.
Like you can't necessarily look at other things that have come before as a, hey, how does this thing fit into, you know, if it's an action movie, what does it do for action movies, right? Like, that's completely legit. But if somebody's already done a Hellboy movie, I don't know if you necessarily should go, well, it's not as good as that one, because it might be trying to accomplish a different thing.
Right. It's a completely different movie, a completely different tone.
Right. But I think as a movie, for me, it didn't work as well.
I'm very much in the minority on it. I know that, but I enjoyed it.
Yeah. Yeah. There was something I was going to say. God damn it. I wish I could remember things. I did feel like the whole, and I know this is like this is one of those situations where, like, her communing with the spirits of the dead, where I'm just like, I get it. Like, like, I get it if that's what it looked like on the page, but that just doesn't work. Like,
yeah.
You know,
you see that a lot, though, right? A lot of times when something tries to stay or stick too close to the comic adaptation, it doesn't always translate to film all that well.
Right. It's like when they're like, why has Wolverine never been in his costume? Have you seen Wolverine's costume?
Right, exactly.
There was a while when motherfucker had whiskers, okay?
Yeah.
You can't put that shit on the screen. Like, so this was, like, I get it. Like, I think, you know, it was kind of important to show, like, that this was not a great thing for her.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was a at the very least a temporary physical cost to what she was able to do.
Right.
But I was like, man, can we wrap up the Ian McShane ghost conversation? Because this is fucking, I can't do this much longer, man. You need to hang up. You need to hang up on Al Swearingen. You need to tell him the party line is closed. Just like, I thought it was weird, like, Daniel Day Kim does not typically have a British accent, and I think it showed. I was like, he doesn't need to be British. Like, maybe he is in the show. Sorry, the show, listen to me, in the comics, but I think it'd be okay for him to not be, because he's clearly not. But yeah. Anyway. So when you hear, like, just out of curiosity, like, when you, on a Friday or Thursday, and you start reading the reviews, and you read that something like this, which maybe, you know, you're looking forward to, and you read the reviews are bad, does that make you go, shit? Or does it, like, galvanize you? Like, I'm just curious, like, kind of what,
No, right, so...
Because for me, because Linda's always like, why are you going to see that? I heard it wasn't very good. And I just go, yeah, we're talking about it on the show. Like, that's it. Mm. It's, you know, and sometimes I go, yeah, I don't care. I still want to see it. And then sometimes I go, well, we're talking about it on the show, so, you know, I'm going to go see it. Like, I don't, you know, it's just, at that point, to me, it's more like, it's business. Well, it's like a professional obligation, so to speak. It's not, no, right, it is. I mean, like when I heard that Hellboy wasn't great, you know, if we weren't doing the show, I would go, all right, well, I'll just wait for it to come on, you know, video, whatever, and I'll just kind of watch it then. But we were going to be doing it on the show, so I was like, yeah, well, I'm still going to, you know, go see it. It's fine. If you know, I'm not destitute. If I end up spending money on something that ends up not being great, then whatever. It was for a purpose, so that's fine. But
no, well, to answer your question, it depends on what it is, because I know my reputation precedes me for these things, but and even with the trailer thing, I'm done with trailers. I basically, especially when it comes to this type of movie, I know whether or not I want to watch it already. So when I read a Rotten Tomatoes score, whatever the fuck, I don't give a fuck about that shit. But when I see that, I know what's coming next, right? It's 10,000 articles written by people who have never read a comic, who have not even seen the fucking movie, who are explaining why it failed.
Yeah.
And they have no,
they maybe haven't even seen it either.
There's no intention whatsoever about watching this with any sort of an open mind, because they have to write the internet's next clickbait title.
Yeah.
And I'm so fucking jaded when it comes to internet.
I get because I you know, like, I mean, like I said, I'll watch stuff because I know we're going to talk about it, but I, you know, at the end of the day, I don't want something to be bad.
I don't want any of these movies to be terrible.
Right.
I'm a fucking comic book fan, for God's sakes.
Right.
The only thing I've been doing longer than reading comics is fucking breathing.
Right. Right.
So I want them all to be amazing.
Right.
And sure, I'm an apologist for a lot of things because I enjoy those things.
Right.
And it's because I'm a comic book fan and I'm willing to overlook more flaws than I guess your typical comic book movie person is.
Well, yeah.
But at the same time, I don't tell anybody they're fucking stupid for liking anything that they like. Right. And I will be damned if it doesn't feel like I don't get that same thing in return if I like something.
See, and that's what I'm always curious about, because I, you know, for me, and maybe it's just because I don't, you know, I talk to you, like, and that's it, and my wife, and she, like, God, if I, whatever, if I felt bad about her thinking I watched stupid shit, then I would have had problems.
Right.
I would have eaten a bullet decades ago. You know, I don't, for me, I never come across that because I don't ever engage. Yeah.
It's my own fault. And I've gotten so much better just from doing this show and talking to you. And every time this comes up, you say that, like, you don't see any of that because you don't. And I'm like, yeah, that's what I need to do, apparently, because ever since the whole BVS fucking fiasco, like, I'm just fucking tired of it. Like, I just,
because motherfuckers would be more than happy to tell you why you're wrong. And I look at it this way. I don't give a fuck. Like, what you like. Like, as long as you don't like, you know, something that actually, like, hurts someone, man, I don't give a fuck. Like, I don't, you and I, we don't like the same shit.
Mm-mm.
And that's fine. You like your thing. I like my thing. Like, when I said you and you're like, you're, you know, you're not happy that there's a movie is bad, I'd be like, I bet you would have been happy if Endgame was bad.
I would not. I'm telling you. I don't hate them just because they're Marvel movies.
I'm just giving. I know.
What I think would be hilarious to watch would be the goddamn Twitter slash
how they twist themselves into.
Good lord.
Yeah.
Superhero movies were a mistake from the beginning. Here's why we wasted the last 10 years of our lives, nerds.
Well, and that's the thing. That would be, you know, that would be an awesome social, like, just to see, like, if. Like, I have no, and you know, I'm sure I have blinders on when it comes to Marvel movies. Like, I for me, you know, I'm not, I really want to see Endgame. I also really don't want to see Endgame because I do feel like it's the end of a thing that I very much enjoyed and loved seeing happen. But it would be hilarious if it ended up being awful. Just to see how people would tie themselves. People who previously were like, you know, it's going to be amazing. You don't have to worry about it. You know, whatever. Like, how they would tie themselves in knots because they wouldn't be able to say, hey, you know what? It ended up not being my thing, and that's okay. That sentiment, I feel like, is for some people, it's impossible. It's not my thing, and that's okay. You would think that would be a pretty simple thing to understand, but for some people they just can't.
Boy, good luck trying to exist on the internet and saying that about an MCU movie. Jesus Christ.
Right.
But no, we did this before. I don't know if you remember this or not. This is a way throwback. This is back when we were just DMing each other on XBLF. And this is when the first Transformers movie was getting ready to come out.
Unabashedly.
We ran a social experiment on that in that small group of people because you wanted to see what reactions would be because we were both like so geeked for the movie.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, we only talked about movies through the DMs back then.
Right.
So, I told you how I felt about it. And I was like, but everybody expects me to love it. And you're like, well, write a post about how you didn't like it.
Oh, God, I don't even remember this.
You
don't remember this?
Yeah, you did. You did. You said, make a post and say, like, act like you hated it and just see what the response is.
Mm-hmm.
Because you were genuinely curious as to how many people were concerned with what I thought.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was the comic book slash, you know, the nerdy guy.
Right.
In a group of nerds, I was the nerd. Mm-hmm. And so I did, and I wrote this thing, and it got like all these responses. Everybody's like, oh my God, really? And like, everybody's freaking out. And then it went on for like a day. And then like the next morning you sent me a DM and it was like, so was that really what you thought? Or I was like, no, I was just like, I was just doing what you said to do. You're like, oh, okay, because good lord, like, it's like, I really believe that.
That's funny. Yeah.
Oh, us and our scheming ways.
Exactly. Back in the day, it goes back a ways.
Mm-hmm.
But Yeah. I mean, you know, and that's the thing. Like, I mean, I wanted to like this movie more than I did because I do shit. I have a Hellboy piece on my arm, courtesy of you, right? Like, I mean, I'm invested in this cat. You know, it didn't work. But what's funny is, you know, my wife always makes fun of me. She's like, you always say you don't like these movies, but then the first thing you say to me is, but I want to watch it again.
Yep.
And I'm like, yeah, because sometimes and I've said this before, you know, sometimes I go into something going, well, I want it to be a certain thing and it's not that thing. And then I have a hard time separating if the reason I didn't like it is because it wasn't what I expected it to be, or it just didn't work for what it was trying to do. Now, I feel like for me on this one, it was more the latter, but I would still like to watch it again to see if it's the first one.
Yeah, see, there's so many things, and this is why I get, you know, people pick on me for buying shit that I don't like. I mean, which is dumb. I completely agree. It's a stupid thing to do, but like for me, the way movies work are there are some movies that I place on pedestals and I could watch 10 times a day for the rest of my life and be fine with. Mm-hmm. Then there are these movies that I was like, that was fucking great. I never want to watch that again. Yeah. I'm going to own it. I'm never like The Matrix. I can never watch that movie again.
Really?
I've tried. I can't do it. I can't make it through it.
To me, that movie, it's amazing how well that movie still holds up.
Mm. I loved it.
Not the sequels. But the original one?
The original, yeah, still.
To me, it could. Yeah. I feel like it could have been made today, and it would be just as good.
It's not a bad movie, not in any sense. Like any sense. It's a fantastic movie, and I loved the shit out of it when I saw it in the theater. And I watched it on DVD. I bought it. I watched it, and I've yet to get through it again. I always turn it off. I don't know what it is, but there are those movies that I loved, and I owned them. And I've never watched them again. And then there are movies that I guess I call fun movies. I don't know what you want to call it, right? It's just shit that if it's on TV, I'll stop and watch it. If I have nothing else to do, or if I'm doing something else, right? Like I'll fucking throw a Blu-ray in, and then I'll fuck around on my phone, or I'll play on the Switch, or I'll fuck the Game Boy, whatever the fuck, right? Like I'll be drawing. Like you in high school, it was drawing.
Yeah,
it shit that I could put on in the background just to have background noise. It's a movie I enjoyed enough, but I don't have to pay any attention, and I can be doing something else. And those are the movies that I end up watching the most, just because I don't have to pay attention. And this Hellboy is absolutely one of those.
Yeah.
It's something that I'll see it probably 50 fucking times and I'll never pay attention to it again the way I did the first time.
But yeah, you don't have any Fast and Furious movies?
No, I do. I bought Too Fast, Too Furious based on your Cinemasological episode for $5 on Blu-ray. I own that one.
I can't wait for Hobbs and Shaw, man. That shit's my jam right there.
Mm.
It's a tango and cash for the new generation.
I don't know about that.
What?
No.
I know you're not about to disparage Tango and Cash.
I'm honestly more upset at you for just doing that than I would never disparage.
Okay, first of all, that is exactly what this is.
It's not.
It absolutely is. Cash and Tango.
Tango with cash. You broke that jaw. I was having a bad day.
Soap. Don't flatter yourself. Come on now. That's exactly what this is, and I'm glad finally a whole new
why
generation.
Why is yours
of people.
Bigger than mine? Genetics.
Oh shit! We need to do. We should do a Tango and Cash episode. I loved it. So did I. That'll be our 100th episode.
Fucking game. Next episode, Tango and Cash and Stone Cold.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Absolutely.
Snuck into both of those movies.
The only movie I ever snuck into, so I had a friend in high school. I call him my friend. He was an asshole. And he was the most boring teenager you ever met. He was like Michael Keaton. Like Alex P. Keaton, but not like cool Michael Douglas Alex P. Keaton. He was like fucking fascist ass Reaganomics Alex B. Keaton. And so he was like, I want to go see Wall Street. And I was like, I want to go see The Running Man. And he was like, we'll do one and then sneak into the other. And I was like, okay, cool. And he was like, we'll do Wall Street first. And I was like, no, we will not. You won't fucking sneak into Running Man. We will do Running Man first, and then we will sneak in to Wall Street. And that's what we did.
Yeah, because you'd miss The Running Man if you tried to watch Wall Street first.
He wouldn't want to. He'd be like, oh, I'm tired. I gotta go home. Fuck that noise.
Everybody would be tired. Fuck that movie.
Reed is good. Yeah, he was a prick. He got in touch with me on Facebook, and I don't do Facebook. Like, I am, even now, I mean, more so than before, I'm just, like, violently, vehemently opposed to Facebook. And he, like, messaged me on it, and he's like, oh, you know, and I was like, dude, I don't want to fucking talk to you. There's a reason I haven't gotten in touch with you in 20 years. You're a fucking asshole. He'd probably, you know, he'd be the guy, he'd be like, yeah, it's perfectly fine. Kids are in cages. he'd be that guy. Yeah. Anyway, if I see you with a red hat, motherfucker, I'm going to snatch that shit off your head. Anyway. So what's next?
Endgame, dude.
Oh, yeah, right. Duh. Todd asked if he could come on the show for that. I was like, yeah, sure, whatever.
Probably needs to.
Yeah, that's what I thought, honestly. I was like, yeah, you probably should.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it would be like, it was episode. Great. And then, yeah, whatever.
It might as well be a solo episode.
That's what, you know what? Honestly, I was like, yeah, it probably. I don't know if Mitchell, he'll see it at some point. I don't know if he'll. Yeah.
I'm not excited. But anyway.
I'm excited. I actually am kicking myself. Don't get me wrong. I love doing these shows on Thursday nights, but I'm kicking myself that I didn't go see it tonight just because.
Well, I did tweet today that I'm legitimately jealous of people's excitement because I can't remember the last thing I was that excited for.
I think, like, for me, it was once I realized Star Wars was good again. That was it.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah. I was super excited for Force Awakens. You're right.
Yeah. So Endgame will be next, and then by then I'll have played some Devil May Cry.
The Under the Silver Lake, I think, is
out. Shit, yes, finally. Jesus. Yeah, yeah, looking forward to that one. For that. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Next episode should be good.
I'm trying to think when that comes out. That's out
this week, I think. I thought it came out.
I think
out.
So too. Maybe it didn't. Yeah. Yeah, I know, you're right. Shit, man, it's been a minute for that guy. So, all right, well, whatever it is, hopefully you'll be here with us. If you know Shudder, get at us.
Get at Shudder. Let them know, man.
Yeah, exactly. Tell them that you need to sponsor us or do whatever. I don't even know how this shit works. Whatever
just
it is.
Mention us to them.
Exactly. Be like, these guys talked about you. Although one of them didn't know really what you were about, but let's not dwell on him. He's an idiot.
There's one asshole in this podcast.
And they talked about sharing a login, which is probably expressly against your service terms, but let's just forget that.
We'll edit that out. That'll come out in post.
Oh, shit. All right, well, this has been episode, what do we say? 71. Thank you. 71 divided by werewolves. Appreciate you hanging out with us. We hope you'll be here with us next time. So for myself and Mitch, thank you again. Good night. And happy.